And welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm coming to you from the great city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I am back after the holiday. I hope that you all had yourself a lovely Thanksgiving. I am joined today by a friend of mine from our, I don't even know if you want to call it unofficial or officially unofficial, whatever. It's a peer group that meets periodically, and the guest that I was going to have today actually had to cancel because of an installation, so I called on one of my good friends here, and I am talking with Chris Moros from Your IT in Oklahoma City. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good. Hollering at you from the beautiful Oklahoma City here in the heartland.
In the heartland, that is right. How was your Thanksgiving, sir?
It was fantastic. We had everyone over to the house. We cooked a massive turkey and had a great time.
Ooh. So now with Thanksgiving traditions, you know, my family has stuff. Do you guys have, you know, your traditions? Do you go to somebody's house or does everybody come to your house? How does that work?
So for the past few years, everyone has come to ours. We just assign everyone something delicious to bring and we cook up the turkey and we normally, you know, start 2 hours late. I think that's pretty routine for most people. Yeah. Everything takes longer. But nothing crazy. We don't have any super strange traditions. We just get together and eat.
Well, that sounds about right. That's what we do. Although this year I had two Thanksgivings. I had to travel the weekend before my niece got married. She lives up near Atlanta. And she had her wedding the weekend before Thanksgiving in Rome, Georgia. So I had to fly into Atlanta, rent a car, drive an hour and a half to Rome and enjoy the weekend there. Then we drove an hour. So her father, my brother-in-law, is in the process of rebuilding a cabin in the mountains of Georgia. And that is going to be the family legacy for that side of the family. And it is probably 80% done. But this was the first official meal that we had in the cabin, the first official weekend that people stayed. So I think there was 11 of us that stayed up there. And we did Thanksgiving on Sunday after the wedding. So that was interesting.
And he's building this himself by hand.
Well, I mean, he's not building the cabin. They bought a cabin. It was basically gutted. So he is redoing the entire cabin. So we're talking, it was down to the cement floor, mostly studs. There was a second floor that was half the floor was missing or something like that. And then there's a loft. So he pretty much, he is on year three of working on this in his spare time. And so he drives up there and he is a master craftsman. So it's not like, you know, he's hiring people to go do it. As he is literally going, you know, he rebuilt the deck. He rebuilt that second floor. He did all the walls. He's, you know, I mean, literally everything. Redid the stairwell. It's a spiral bookcase stairwell that goes up to the second floor. He's redoing everything.
Wow. See, I'm the person that tries to fix something and then halfway through hires a professional come in and fix what I have broken. So that's quite impressive.
I've gotten to the point where I don't even try. I just say, I don't have the time. I don't have the patience. And as long as I have the money, somebody else can do it. All right. So we are here back in the grind. And I can say that I've had an interesting week or so after being back. How about you?
Monday was, I always forget, when you have a long weekend and you're off for 2, 3, 4 days and you come back, Mondays are going to be crazy. And for some reason, After 10 years, I still always forget that. So yes, Monday was quite a bit of running around.
So I've gotten to the point where I don't even schedule stuff on Monday. Do you do that?
Not before noon. We don't schedule anything before noon on Mondays.
All right. Well, that's a good policy there. So why don't we do this? Let's go back a little bit because I've known you for a couple of years now, but I don't think any of my listeners, well, maybe five of my listeners know you. So why don't you quickly introduce your company to us and tell us what you do there in Oklahoma?
Goodness. So Your IT, we've been around for 10 years now. We just had our 10-year mark. Started off as residential services, primarily marketing and focusing on senior citizens, believe it or not. We quickly saw that there was more money in businesses, and so we started supporting businesses. Within the first couple of years, had a good client base there. And then about 4 years ago, we went to focus completely on business services and have been fine-tuning over the past couple of years to really focus on leading with the security and the consulting services as opposed to simply leading with our support and maintenance offering. So that's kind of how we position ourselves now in Oklahoma City is kind of being a premium service, helping companies fine-tune their cybersecurity and offering them some more of those consulting guidance types of services.
All right. So got to go back to the beginning because I don't think I ever knew that you started off focusing on senior citizens.
No.
So of course.
So originally our original name was Golden Years Computer Services. Okay. And there were a couple of publications here in the city that were for seniors and they'd be at community centers or at retirement villages. So we did marketing in those publications. Did a couple radio spots. It was helping seniors with their computer needs. And it worked out well. The main reason was there's more money in businesses, as I mentioned. Yeah. But I discovered I didn't personally have the patience needed to deal with strictly with seniors. So we moved away from that.
Because that sounds like something that would happen down here in Florida. Because, you know, I am not far from Del Vista Boca.
Well, maybe I should have franchised it down there.
It wouldn't have been with me.
If anyone's listening and looking for a business to start up in Southern Florida, there's your idea.
Absolutely. All right. So you made the switch over to full-time business and managed services 4 years ago. I know that you have been, you know, going through multiple tweaking cycles and things of that nature. So tell me, how has it been, at least in the last couple of years, with what you've done and what you focused on in terms of, you know, have you got that target set yet?
We do. The transition, whether it's from residential to business or from break fix to managed services, I think any transition of that magnitude is a 12 to 18 month transition.
Okay.
So, you know, we say we transitioned out of residential 4 years ago, and then transitioned even more from just break fix with a little bit of managed services to strictly managed services. So for the past 3 years, we've really been kind of going through that evolution to where we wanted to be. As we did that, the biggest thing we had to focus on was, are we going to try to focus on a single niche, which we tried with our particular focus was accounting firms and CPAs. And we focused and marketed strictly to them for about 2 years. At this point, we realized, hey, if we've marketed to all these accounting firms for 2 years, we're not signing up a whole lot more of those. We've probably tapped out that particular market. So now we're expanding more to just general professional business services, which we have found previously when we just marketed to everyone, whether it was mass marketing or direct mail marketing, to a radius or a zip code, just to any and all businesses, we got poor quality results from that. And so we're finding focusing on even if it's a little bit broader area, being professional services, legal, financial, a little bit of medical in terms of some small clinics and some dentist stuff, that area is more open to the higher end services that we're providing,
right,
versus what might be a typical break fix client.
Okay. So you went from senior citizens to accounting companies.
Well, yes. That wasn't overnight, but yes.
I'm just, hitting the high notes here. And so now you've, trying to move more towards the managed services and cater that to a broader business perspective. Now, your services, if I remember correctly, when we've had, discussions over the last year or so, if you've, done a lot more of a cybersecurity, moved into the network security, and you're even doing print services, if I remember correctly, right? Are you the one that did the
Xerox? We are, to an extent. So, yeah, so what we found, we looked at, what other periphery items we could add to our services to bring in, and we looked at print services. And traditional print services where you pay per click and you have full leasing and you have, based on all this stuff, that was way too complicated for what we wanted to do. So we ended up partnering with Xerox, and what they have is their e-concierge service, which essentially we sell the printer, we set up the printer. It's not the large tabloid copiers with the finishers and all that stuff. It's more of the larger multi-tray, multi-functions.
Like your work group network printers.
Right. But then with the e-concierge service, Xerox has it where as long as they order the printer through us, essentially, then they get a lifetime service on their printing device. So it works out well where the costs are similar to what they would pay on a traditional pay-per-click lease. But it's something we're able to handle a little bit better in terms of we don't have to do monthly billing for that or count the cycles or any of those type of things. So just a way for us to kind of provide another service that we weren't previously.
All right. So yeah. Is it a flat fee that you're charging them in terms of like a managed service fee, or is it all done
right now, through Xerox? No. Yeah, we don't charge any sort of management fee for those printers above what you might for anything else. It's really just sell the printer, install the printer, and Xerox has a program you install on their network that they order their toner through.
And you don't have to deal with any of that?
We don't. So it's you sign up with whoever your distributor is of choice, whether it's Supplies Network or Cinex or whoever it may be, and they pay with a credit card. We collect those funds. Distribution instantly fulfills that order and bills us. So it's pretty hands-off.
Nice. Okay. So in making that transition now, you mentioned the last year in particular.
Right.
So has there been one thing that you would say has really made a difference in making life and business easier, nicer, better?
It has, absolutely. So gonna name drop here. So I am heavily involved in the Tech Tribe, with Nigel Moore. We've been working with him for 2 years, and this last year we've really kind of focused down on our marketing aspects. And they've come out with some absolutely incredible marketing material for direct mail, for email marketing. And so the two things that have driven our success this year are the tools and the coaching and the community from the Tech Tribe. And then I've also been working with Sandler Training this year, which has really revolutionized our approach to sales and how we handle our entire sales pipeline and sales process with clients. And it's taken us from just kind of fumbling through phone calls and fumbling through that process, tweaking our conversations so that it's much more focused on the client. How can we help them? What do they need? As opposed to, here's what we can do. Here's how awesome we are. Here's why you should choose us. It's completely pivoted to what they need. And if we're even a good fit, we've had several people we've spoken with who, after a conversation, we both decided that we probably weren't going to be able to help them out. And that's something a year or two ago, I would never have told someone that. I would have found a way to try to twist their arm or convince them that they needed what we were selling. So it's been pretty revolutionary for how we operate. But we had the best year we've ever had this year, and numbers are going up. Our margins are up. Our contracts are larger. So it's really just kind of finding where we're comfortable and how we're comfortable selling and focusing on the client 100%. It's been great.
All right. So I am not a part of the Tech Tribe or any of those types of things, but we did recently get the book by Nigel, Package, Price, Profit, The Essential Guide to Packaging and Pricing Your MSP Plans. So I've read all but the last, looks like about 15 pages. I hadn't finished it yet, but I did get through most of it. Is that, first of all, I should ask, do you have that book?
I do. I have the ebook and the physical book.
Okay. now, I mean, he's got a lot of stuff in here, you know, about the models and, you know, the good, better, best, offering break fits and stuff. So how much of the book do you think you've either adopted or modified for your business?
100%. So the entirety of that book were things that I worked with him through to tweak our offerings, to put together those tiers, to put together those packages. So we implemented and worked through every single concept that he talks about in that to come up with what our current services are, what our current packaging are, how we put those in the proposal to present those to people. Yeah, that's a great book. Another book that I read at the same time is called Monetizing Innovation. And Monetizing Innovation is 100% about the good, better, best model and okay. how you bundle and unbundle and create those tiers. It goes in, it's at times it was well over my head in terms of the concepts and the ideology. But if someone's looking for a deeper dive on that kind of good, better, best model, Monetizing Innovation is a fantastic read for that.
Okay.
But no, Nigel's book, what it helped me with was thinking through, really, there's a chapter on value selling, where instead of having, you know, a set price where every client pays $50 a month per device, whatever it might be, using your conversations with that client to determine what the value is that that client's willing to pay.
Right.
And we've had a significant number of our contracts this year where we've been able to increase that monthly cost a little bit more for them because we're specifically addressing a problem in a way that gives them incredible relief or that they hadn't considered. You know, so that was important for us to realize if we can go in and give that client value, then we're able to, you know, make a little bit more money doing so. And they're happy with it. We're happy with it. So that was a key concept that I'd never really considered a lot before that.
Okay. And that is actually right before I stopped. So that's part of chapter 9. Chapter 10, what are my costs? And that's where I actually stopped, because it's funny, when I got to that, I realized that for probably the last year and a half, I've actually been redoing how I set up the fees for my managed services. And I did that basically after firing my one large customer and looking at what I was charging other people. And, you know, it was just simply based on, well, these other companies are charging this much per device, I'll do the same. But I really went and did some deep diving into some Excel spreadsheets of what are my actual costs for each part of the solution that I'm providing, from my RMM to my, you know, my tools and my other software packages, my warranty, you know, all my website subscriptions and all that stuff. Then throwing in, what's my labor cost,
right,
to support them, you know, whether it's me or whether I'm subbing that out. And so I had spent, you know, 6 months going through that, and I got to that chapter in the book, and I'm like, man, I was already doing this, and that's kind of where I stopped.
Well, I think what's fascinating, you said, you know, you worked at it for several months, and that's true. It can take a long time to get comfortable with what some of those costs are, because you have your hard costs. But for me, I know when I'm working on pricing structure, we looked at that. As you may very well know, Marvin, I've got a tendency to overthink things.
I wasn't going to say anything.
And so, you know, we worked on pricing. We looked at it. I tweaked it. I went back. And I think it's good if people listening decide to go through that exercise to be aware that it's okay to revisit that a couple of times, because you're going to come up with something that you think is perfect. And you're going to go out and you're going to test it in the marketplace, and you're going to present it to somebody. And whether you win or lose that business, you're going to look back at it and say, "Ugh, I probably should have raised this here or lowered this here." And just be okay tweaking it for a bit until you realize it's really what you need to be at. Because, Marvin, I'm sure you'd agree, as you went through your costs, you came back and said, "I did a good job breaking down my labor costs, but there were some kind of fluffy charges that are really hard to nail down what they were." And you kind of uncover those later as you go through that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there were some costs where, you know, so I never fully embraced the MSP model, meaning I did not do everything based on the monthly cost, which a lot of companies are. They're like, you've got to do everything, you know, from your firewall to your RMM, to your help desk, to your NOC, all of that stuff. I'm still at a point where I'm selling my customers the firewall with the services all in one shot. I'm not breaking that out monthly.
Right.
So I'm going to sell you, here's your appliance. Here's 5 years of service. When those 5 years are up, we'll buy a new one.
Right.
Although I am evaluating a firewall through Calyptics, where that is a monthly model.
Yeah.
And, but you know, when you go back and try to, here's the thing. So I've got a customer that we're basically getting to the point where I've got to raise their rates, and I've got them locked in at a price that has been working. And, you know, in their mind, they're like, well, why do we need to pay more for support? And I'm like, you're asking me to do more.
Right.
You know, you want me to be available, you know, an extra hour, you know, after 5 o'clock. So you want somebody to be able to answer the phone to 6. Well, I've got to pay to have my office operational for that hour. And if it's just for you, then you've got to pay. And they're like, well, maybe we'll just partner with somebody else that'll offer after hour support. And it's like, oh, you know, I'm like, okay, so you're willing to pay somebody else but you're not willing to give me that extra money. So it's a battle that I don't understand why customers, it's almost like they want, they don't mind paying you up to a point, but it's, they don't want to pay you too much.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. It's, those conversations always, I laugh at those and think, why are we even having this conversation when we've discussed this a million times before? And, you know, if one of your clients came to you and said, I want you to do extra for me, you know, you turn around and have the same conversation with them.
Well, most of my clients are lawyers, so imagine imagine those conversations. Yeah. So, all right. So, well, we did not plan on plugging Nigel in his book, but because we did, I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes. And if you've not purchased Nigel's book, you can do through my Amazon link. And I don't even remember how much it was. It wasn't.
It's very affordable. I think it's less than $5.
Yeah, it's not that much at all. Now the value he has on here is $2,500.
That sounds about right. I would say probably even $4,500.
Probably. all right. So I'll, and the other one that you mentioned was the monetizing
innovation. And okay. I really hope that's the correct title.
All right. We'll look that up and find that. And I will put a link to that one as well in the show note. And all right. So that was a nice little nugget of information we got out of the one thing.
Yeah.
That has really helped you over the last year and stuff. So that's, I think I'm going to use that for 2020 when I do my interviews. I'm going to just make it.
That's a good one.
Everybody's going to have to tell me the one thing that has transformed their business. So that'll be great. I'll have a series on the one thing.
And if they can't tell you right away, then
it hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened.
All right. Okay, great. So that was a good topic. Anything else that has happened recently that you want to bring up or chat about? I don't want to focus too much on, you know, making you dig into your business and giving us your secrets, but.
No, I am happy to help. There's, you know, early on in the business, I held pretty much everything very, very close to the chest. Because I thought all my ideas were these amazing ideas and people would steal them. And I've come to realize, A, my ideas are probably not any different than anyone else's ideas.
Right.
And B, there's more than enough business out there. And if I have a competitor that comes in and does something better than me, that's just a chance for me to learn and increase my stuff. So no, I'm happy and willing to share almost anything.
So let me go back because you started your business 10 years ago.
Yes.
So mine was 22 years ago.
Okay.
And when I started, the people that I met in the industry were, I mean, really holding things close to the vest. I mean, it was almost like we couldn't talk about anything for fear that, you know, somebody would steal somebody else's business. And I remember I had a group that I don't remember how it started, but it was a consultant friend of mine and two other network administrators that had their own business. And then we found a desktop guy, and there was five of us that we decided that we should get together and meet once a month. And we were all local. And we met for probably a year. Until one of the gentlemen brought up the idea that maybe we should merge and form a company. Because we all pretty much, we did get along, we had great ideas and stuff. But as soon as that idea of let's merge and become a company, things started to fall apart.
Interesting.
And I think it was more that we had all, let's see, by that time, that was my third or fourth year in the business. Another gentleman had been in about the same amount of time. But we were all in that three, four, 5 year range. And I think we were all at the point where, hey, I've got something good going. Mm-hmm. I'm in control. I don't want to give that up.
Right. Right.
But the camaraderie of getting together and sharing ideas was something that, you know, was fantastic. And, you know, for me, was not duplicated until about 5 years ago when I got involved in the podcast community and started traveling again and going to conferences and meeting you guys and stuff like that. So, you know, where I was going with that whole story was I was going to ask you is, you know, we have our informal group and we, you know, we don't have a regular schedule. We just kind of meet whenever. But outside of that, do you find in the industry that people are willing to share and help each other out as much as we do inside of our group?
I think so. And here's what's interesting. Two things. You've got your local, and then you've got, national or international, however far you go. But think about, you mentioned the events. And at every event, that's one of the things that people enjoy the most is talking to other colleagues and peers at events. And at most of those events, when you get talking, people are very open with their ideas and what they're working on and what they've done to improve, because they don't fear that person being a local competitor and taking their business.
Right. Yep.
So that's why we have so many of these. You know, you look at Robin Robbins Producers Club, you look at some of these other groups, Tech Tribe and other informal groups like we have ourselves, where none of us are local to each other because we don't have that fear. However, if you look at your local community, and we've tried to put together a couple of things and met, I regularly meet with a couple of what would be competitors here in my area. Not as a official meetup like you mentioned, though I have thought about it. But when you look at your local group, if you have met any of your other local competitors for lunch or at other local events, I think you'll see that the majority of people who don't want to share and converse and are scared of sharing their ideas are typically the smaller businesses, maybe just the one-person shop, who are scared and concerned of losing their livelihood.
Right.
Whereas if you look at who are those people that I do have lunches with or are open to conversations and are open to, you know, collaborating on different things, they're the larger successful companies.
Right.
And I didn't realize that for the first several years. And then when I did start taking lunch meetings with some of these larger companies and meeting their president and talking about how to kind of work together and our weaknesses and how we might be able to help them and vice versa, collaboration is massively important. And for me personally, the fear of losing business to a competitor that I may talk to was 100% a fear of maybe I'm not doing a good job for that client. Because if I'm doing a good job for a client and that client likes what we're doing and we have the proper relationship, then no competitor is going to come in and steal that business from me. So that was a realization for me that I don't have to worry about some business taking my ideas and swooping in and stealing all my clients. Because we're all just, you know, we're trying to figure out ways for us to improve. I'm not scoping out a specific competitor and saying, how am I going to go in and steal all of their clients?
Right.
But I think there's tons of opportunity for us to collaborate and work together and help each other. I mean, there is so much business out there that there's no possible way that any of us could have all of it. And there's no way that we could lose all of it either. So,
right. It's weird. As you were mentioning the fear of losing business. So down here, the biggest fear I think is price undercutting, because there's always somebody down here that'll do it cheaper.
That's true everywhere. Yeah.
But I think down here in South Florida, it's probably, I would double what it is anywhere else. I mean, I know it exists everywhere, but it is worse down here because there are so many people that will do anything. I'm not talking just computer repair. I'm talking, you know, housework, you know, home repairs, all of that stuff. There's always a, and I don't, you know, I don't want to try to blame it on demographics per se, but there's always somebody, for instance, let's say my rate's $100. You know, you drive down the street and there's signs all over the place, computer repair, $45, you know, stuff like that. So the businesses down here are always looking for, well, how cheap can you do it? And once I got to the point of no fear that, look, I'm not lowering my price.
Right.
There's a reason. Because the value that I'm going to give you is going to be worth it.
Right.
And if you have to call that guy or gal that charges you $45 or $40 or $30, you know, however low they want to go, if you're calling them three or four times to fix the same problem, you should have called me. I would have fixed it the first time. You're still spending the same, if not more, money calling them. So why not just use me and get it done right? And, you know, it was funny because at first, I did lose business. It was people like, I'm never going to pay you what you want. But it's amazing how many times, I mean, and not like it's hundreds, let's just say, like, you know, let's say a handful of times over the years, I've had people come back to me and be like, we should have listened to you.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting is, you know, if you find a group of local peers and colleagues, whether you meet regularly or whether it's just people you know, for me, we were able to say, you know what? I don't want that type of business anymore. You know, if it's someone who just wants the cheapest price, that's not business that I want, but I know someone who does.
Right.
And you can, you know, when you start sending that business and passing those referrals on, you start to see that come back to you quite a bit, I think, as well. Yes, there are people that charge cut rates that I think everybody listening would agree we never want to refer people to because the quality they perform is so substandard. But you're able to not only start to differentiate yourself on what you don't do, but you're able to help each other out,
right?
Which is always good.
Well, if you can find somebody, for instance, and I'll give this one example. So there is a gentleman that I do refer residential desktop support to who is on the lower scale of what would be charged, but he's good. And that's his rate.
Mm-hmm. He's comfortable with it.
He makes a living at it. And it's a segment that I don't do.
Right.
So I can say to them, look, if this is what you're looking for, call him. He'll take care of you. And he does. And the people are happy and they'll come back and thank me. And then on the same token, when he gets clients that he can't support or are looking for a higher level of, you know, network support that he doesn't do because he's, you know, primarily a desktop guy, mm-hmm. he refers them back to me. And he lets them know, look, this person's going to charge a lot more, but he's good. So right. it does work both ways. And I wanted to circle back because I wanted to say that those other people that I met, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
We're still all friends. And
did any of you end up merging together at all?
No, we did not.
No.
No. The one gentleman who was the bigger of us all at the time is pretty much still the bigger of all of us. I think he's got 5 or 6 techs. He's actually got multiple businesses that he's involved with. So that's his deal. The other network guy that was part of that group, he and I actually share business and we back each other up all the time. So if I'm nice. Out of town, he's my backup. If he's out of town, I'm his backup. The consultant, still a good friend of ours. She actually gets us tickets to the theater all the time. And we still talk a lot because she refers me all of the legal software business. So she sells the software and calls us in to do the networking. So yeah, we're still all friends.
Yeah. So the moral is if you are scared of meeting your what you think are competitors in your local area, don't be. Go start making some friends and having lunches.
Yep. And do your job, treat each other well, and things will work out.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. All right. Well, that was a good segue.
Yeah. What else we got?
whatever you want. I actually wasn't planning on talking that long, but, you know, everybody, people always talk about, you know, hey, you should have shorter shows. And but the, here's the problem. You get in here, you get talking, and things like this come up. And, you know our meetings, our meetings that we have, we always end up going long.
So. All the time. Well, we can break this into a two-parter.
Okay.
Give the fans a real treat.
Yes. We'll do a holiday special. So, all right. Well, why don't we do that? We'll just break right here, and then I'll have you back again, and we'll pick another couple of topics. And actually, we'll see if Nigel reaches out to us and
yeah, absolutely
thank us for referring his book. So, yeah. All right, folks. Chris Moros of Your IT in Oklahoma City.
Moroz. Moroz.
I never say your last name.
I know you don't. No one ever does.
Moroz. Okay.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
It is. It is. How's the weather right now? It is cold down here, by the way.
Oh, it's great. It was 67 today.
That was your high? So,
what's that? That was our high, yeah.
I think that was our high.
No. But yeah, but it probably was. But for us, that's great weather. We enjoyed it. That's pleasant.
I had a sweatshirt on this morning. It was 50. No. It was 51 degrees when I got out of bed.
No. So thankfully, we did not get terrible snow and cold like a lot of the country did. But for this time of year for us, yeah, 37 in the morning and 67 in the afternoon. That's nice.
So right now it is 69 degrees with a real feel temperature of 67. So,
and you're going to put on a sweater?
Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to briskly walk to the car.
Okay.
And drive my 1,000 feet to the house and briskly walk inside.
Okay.
So I've got a shirt with a t-shirt on underneath. So I had the sweatshirt on this morning because I had to feed the cats. So
bundle up, Florida.
That's right. Brr. All right, Chris, let's go ahead and get out of here. And
everyone,
thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show. And head over to podnuts.com and listen to all the other great shows on there. Go to the show notes and look up the book links that I will provide for you tonight. And holiday season, folks, use the Amazon link in the show note. If you shop on Amazon, go there, make all your purchases as you normally would. A little bit of commission, I don't know, 1-3% comes back so that we can provide great shows. I've got some great plans coming up for 2020, so I will mention those later. But for now, so long, farewell, have a good night, and until next time, holla.